Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM. Joe and Evan on The Fan.
Live from the Black Bear Studio. Delicious Black Bear deli meats and cheeses are only at ShopRite. Live right next to the Mike Francesa chair that usually is occupied by Joe Benigno. Hi, it's the Midday Show, Benigno and Roberts. We're here until 1 o'clock this afternoon. Joe is still playing golf, and today he should really enjoy it because I opened the show complaining about the weather yesterday. It was humid. It was disgusting. We ended up getting this monstrous rainstorm. Today is gorgeous, and I'm in a very good mood today. I'm happy today. It's not that I'm a Raptors fan. It's not that I'm a Spurs fan, but I love waking up to Woj bombs. There's nothing better than a good old-fashioned Woj bomb at 4 o'clock in the morning. And we'll get to this monstrous trade because my gut reaction about Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green being sent to Toronto for Jakob Poeltl, DeMar DeRozan, and a protected first-round pick, I believe one team did really, really well. I hated for another team. And we'll get into it as the show rolls on. Frank Isola is going to join me. I'm curious if we have the same opinion on this trade. And we'll talk other NBA stuff. But that's what makes the NBA great, right? It's the middle of July. We've already gone through most of NBA free agency. And then out of nowhere, even though the last 24 hours you started to hear some rumblings, but essentially out of nowhere, right after the All-Star game in baseball, right after this huge controversy with John Hader's Twitter account from when he was in high school, you get that loud sound of a Woj bomb. And the landscape of the NBA changing. We'll get into it as the show rolls on. We'll also talk some football a little bit later on with Ian Rappaport and get his opinion on trading Jacob deGrom. He is a big Met fan. As far as the All-Star game was concerned last night, I had a very weird night, and I tweeted this earlier this morning. I fell asleep at 7 o'clock at night. Now, I don't know what happened. I've been talking all week about how this is an All-Star break for all of us, a chance to take a break, not only from watching the Yankees and the Mets, but if you're a sucker like me, watching Padres-Dodgers at 11 o'clock at night, at 1 o'clock in the morning. So for whatever reason, I passed out like a baby. It's passed out. I woke up at about 2 a.m., and what's great about technology is I was able to go back and watch this game and skip commercials and skip whatever I wanted to skip. Couple of thoughts from this game and what we saw last night. Number one, good job by the National fans. All right, good job by them. I like the fact that they were booing every player that was announced from the National League East. I like that. That's a good job out of them. And I wasn't sure when Joe Buck says, hey, this is the second year where the game doesn't count, so we're going to have some fun. I was very nervous about what was going to go down. I have to admit, I thought the interviews in the middle of the game, I had no problem with it. I thought it was interesting. You know, hearing from Lindor, hearing from Trout basically show his love for the Philadelphia Eagles, hearing from Bryce Harper. And by the way, come on, Met fans, you noticed this. Bryce Harper put over the Met pitching staff like they were the freaking Orioles in the late 60s. He put over the Met pitching staff like they were the Braves from the mid to late 90s. He put over the Met pitching staff like they were in a pennant race with the Mets. Oh, DeGrom and Syndergaard and Matz and even Wheeler. Oh, my God, this is fantastic. So I spent about 30 seconds at 3 o'clock in the morning saying, hey, Bryce, you want to come here? I know you're hitting about 215, and we'll boo you after about two games. Mark my words. You want to come to Flushing since the staff is so good? And I think as he was complimenting DeGrom, DeGrom gives up the home run to Mike Trout, which is fine. It didn't even bother me. There have been times in the All-Star game where performances by my own guys have hurt me and bothered me, and I'll give you a great example. And trust me, Met fans and Yankee fans, I think you remember this, okay? I think you remember this. All-Star game 2000. The Mets and Yankees just finished the Subway Series. If I'm not mistaken, I think they just finished the Subway Series. And look this one up. All right? Bet, look this one up. Fact check me. I want live fact checking on this. That when the Mets played the Yankees, the second installment of the Subway Series, the one where they did the split doubleheader, where Doc came back to Shea and Piazza got drilled by Clemens. Correct me if I'm wrong, final series before the All-Star break. I'm pretty sure that was the case, all right? Tyler Bett, by the way, big Celtic fan. We'll get on him later. Don't you worry. We'll get on him later. So, if I'm not mistaken, final weekend before the All-Star game, and the Yankees do what they want against the Mets. They do their thing, you know? They sweep that doubleheader. They win this series. The Yankees are the kings. You're a Met fan, and you're depressed going into the All-Star game. So, Tuesday night's the All-Star game. Al Leiter is an all-star. And I love Al Leiter. I really do. For whatever reason, I don't know what it is, but Al, we never have on our show. I was a huge fan of Al Leiter. And I think he should be in the Met Hall of Fame, by the way. I really do. So Al Leiter's on the mound in the Subway Series, and up comes Derek Jeter in a big spot. And I'm still depressed from the Subway Series, and I remember thinking to myself, you know, this is not going to go a long way into making me feel better, but I need Al Leiter to get a big out here. I need him to strike out Jeter in a big spot. And I don't remember if it was a single, if it was a double. Jeter came through with a big hit. And if you recall, Derek Jeter, I think, went on to win the All-Star Game MVP that year of 2000. Fact check me on that one, too. I want to make sure I'm right about all this stuff. Or else I'm just an idiot spouting stuff, which is only 30% of the time. And I remember when Jeter got that hit against I was so ticked off. It was the continuation of the Yankees' ownage of the Mets. Go ahead, Bet. Go ahead, Bet. Am I right about this stuff?
Yes, you are correct. He was the MVP, and it was right before the break.
Okay, good. So my memory is not failing me 18 years later. And I remember being ticked off. Like, oh, God, the Yankees always own the Mets. And then a few years later, unrelated to the Yankees, but David Wright hit a home run in the All-Star game, and I remember not caring that much about it, thinking, oh, that's cool for David, not a big deal. Matt Harvey even starting the All-Star game at Citi. It was exciting, but not that big of a deal. I did get excited about DeGrom a few years ago when he struck out the world in the All-Star game. Remember that? He pitched his one inning, struck everybody out, did it on 15 pitches. That one excited me. Last night, DeGrom giving up our home run to Mike Trout, didn't do it for me. As a Yankee fan, you got to see Aaron Judge hit a majestic home run, really starting the home run barrage, which this is baseball in 2018. And I guess I could sit here for 5 minutes complaining about baseball in 2018. I could do that, and I have my complaints, but baseball's a great game. And last night was a celebration of baseball. So I'm going to choose not to do that right now. Now, if you call in and you ask me my opinion, I'll give you my opinion. Are there too many home runs in baseball? Yeah. Have they minimized the beauty of the home run in baseball? Absolutely. But last night was about fun. Last night was about having a good time. And I got to admit, I had a good time. It was a competitive game. Sure, the craziness of the home runs late was a little over the top, but you get yourself the dramatic game-tying home run in the ninth inning. You get the Houston Astros basically continuing what they did in October last year, hitting the two home runs in the 10th inning. Some of the managing decisions was just bizarre, but I think it just showed you that A.J. Hinch and Dave Roberts didn't really care, and the game really doesn't matter. And that's why you saw some of the managerial decisions that they made. But overall, it was a fun game. It was enjoyable. But I think what's happened to the All-Star game, I mentioned how memorable that certain, in a negative way, aspect was in 2000. A lot of the things that have happened over the last 10 years in the All-Star game, I just don't remember anymore. And maybe it's being older. Maybe it's not caring about it as much. Maybe it's you can watch so much other baseball, it doesn't have that same impact on you. I'm not sure what it is, because you see a lot of the matchups a lot. You know, you see it a lot. Even when, oh, it's Max Scherzer against Aaron Judge, is that special? Well, we've seen it. Maybe not that much. Maybe we haven't seen Max against Judge because Max missed the Yankees twice this year. But I don't know. It just doesn't feel that special. But it was a fun game. I enjoyed it. And I watched it at 3 o'clock in the morning. Excuse me. When I was done with the game, I noticed that John Hader got in a lot of trouble. Josh Hader got in a lot of trouble. I apologize. Now, a couple of things about Hader. Hader got off to one of the more historic starts you'll ever see in baseball this year. He was striking out everybody. Now, I've watched him recently, Josh Hader, and he's been a lot more hittable. But with that said, guy's having a great year. His strikeout numbers are insane. He's averaging. Is there somebody famous named John Hader? Because for whatever reason, I always have this, like, instinct to call him John when his name is Josh. There must be a famous John Hader for some reason. But Josh Hader has had this ridiculously historic season. and has been a big part of that Brewer bullpen. In fact, two Brewer relievers made the All-Star team in Josh Hader and Jeremy Jeffress. Is there a famous John Hader?
He was actually the actor who played Napoleon Dynamite. So there you go.
There you go. I've always wondered that because I was trying to trade for Josh Hader in fantasy, and I think even when I approached him on the trade, I said, can I have John Hader? I have this instinct to call this poor guy John Hader all the time. His name is Josh Hader. I apologize, Josh. So it comes out that when Hader is 17, he's tweeting all these things, right? He tweeted the N-word multiple times. I don't think he was calling anybody that word. I think he was calling himself that word. He tweeted anti-gay things. He tweeted anti-women things. And my first reaction to it is obviously it's stupid, all right? And when you're 17, you're not 12. But it was difficult, not for him, but for Lorenzo Cain and Christian Yelich. And I give Cain more credit because Cain actually answered questions. Yelich basically said, I got nothing. Don't ask me. I don't know what happened. What do you want me to say? And got the hell out of there. I never heard from Jeremy Jeffress, who's also his teammate. He probably did the same thing. Cain supposedly met with Hader for 30 seconds. And for 30 seconds, Hader had to say to a veteran guy in Lorenzo Cain, he's not 25 years old. And Lorenzo Cain knows about the damn world. You want to know why I know Lorenzo Cain knows about the damn world? Because one of the answers Cain gave in talking about Hader, Beningo would love this, was Cain said, this is why I don't have a social media account. And he's sort of right. Not when you're 25 or 30, because you hope you're not going to do those dumb things, and you're going to understand that every tweet you ever fire off is a public record and will probably be there forever. But Lorenzo Cain said something that's true. He said, we all say a lot of dumb things. I think he was the one who said, if you follow me or anyone else around with a recorder, you're probably going to catch a lot of stupid things. But that's the danger of Twitter. Pre-Francesa being on Twitter, he would say, this is why you don't go on Twitter, okay? And it's true. There are risks involved. And I have to admit, I think a lot of us have to admit, because I'm old enough, I'm 35. Now, what does that mean, I'm 35? It means that when Twitter first started becoming a thing, it was 2008, 2009. I joined Twitter in 2009. So that was 9 years ago. 9 years ago, I'm here. 9 years ago, I'm at this radio station. 9 years ago, I'm not 15 years old. 9 years ago, I have an idea that I should be careful about anything I tweet, right? When you had Twitter launch as a high school kid or even younger, the stupid things that you would say, not necessarily the topics that Hader went to, because I don't think most of us say any of that stuff on Twitter or off Twitter, but just anything in general. I'm talking more general about Twitter. God knows what you're tweeting at 15 years old. I'll give you an example. Let's say he got dumped. I could totally imagine dude going on Twitter just saying just horrible things about that person because they're bitter they got dumped because they're 14 years old and they're not emotionally ready. Well, now imagine you're a Major League Baseball player now. You're an NBA player, and those tweets are going to be examined. So I really believe that if you are, I'd say, 30 or older, maybe 28 or older, you kind of have an advantage that Twitter wasn't there for the age in which you were really, really, really stupid. And Hader tried to take responsibility. Well, what can he do? What's he going to say? I was hacked when I was 17. The one answer he gave, now remember, I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm watching all this garbage. And I got to hand it to Cain again. I have such a man crush on Lorenzo Cain. I wanted him for the Mets last year. You guys know that. Now, he got a big contract, which we'll see how that ends up. But I love Cain. I just think he's a pro. And Cain, it took a lot for him to not have any idea really what Hader tweeted and actually stand there and answer questions for 7 minutes while Yelich basically said, I don't want to deal with this. I don't know. And at Jeffress, I don't even know if they got to him. And that's the kind of leadership I think Lorenzo Cain actually supplies. Where he went out and said, look, we're going to talk it over, and it's fine. He's a good dude. I know the guy. He's a fine guy. He went out of his way to defend him. But that's where Hader makes things difficult. He makes it difficult on his team. His team is struggling. His team needs to make the postseason, I think, based on the start they had. And they have not played great baseball. And by the way, Hader, like I mentioned, has not been great recently. Certainly wasn't great in the All-Star game. And I think he's added, even though it's 8 years later or 7 years later, a controversy and questions that are very difficult to answer. But man, I'll tell you about Twitter. If you are off from school and you are listening to this show right now and you are 15 years old, because I know we are very popular in that demographic, very popular amongst kids 10 to 25. I don't know if you knew that. Yep, very popular. I want you to listen to Uncle Evan, okay? I'll give you some advice, some friendly advice. Whatever you tweet, be careful. Because we are learning that anything you tweet, and this is not about specifically what Hader tweeted, because some of the things, I don't know what the hell the context was, but it ain't good. And it's tough to defend. It's impossible to defend. So I'm just talking more general about Twitter. Be careful. Okay? Because what you tweet right now when you're 13 years old, and now you're running for the United States Senate 20 years from now, trust me, they're going to use it against you. They really are. I think in my case, the worst tweets I have is liking the Nets Celtic trade. That may be the worst one. I don't know. You got to watch out for Dove. Can you, Dove, what's your worst tweet in the last 9 years since you launched? Have you said anything? You definitely weighed into politics. I know that. You've definitely done that. Dove doesn't even want to turn the mic on. He's so afraid. It's okay to weigh in on politics, though, if you so choose.
It's not just Twitter. It's the whole internet.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everywhere in social media or the internet in general, your words live forever. And, you know, it's funny. When you do what we do, it's different. Obviously, it's different what you're being held to, but what you're being held to is every opinion you've ever had, right? There's a Twitter account. I enjoy it. I think it's really cool. Old Takes Exposed, where the dude or the gal, I'm not sure who runs it, finds these old tweets, sometimes from a very long time ago, sometimes from not that long ago, with these opinions that turn out to be crazy, right? An opinion, I forget who had it. I wouldn't trade Matt Harvey for Mike Trout. I forget who said that. Some Met fan said that. That opinion now, tweeted out all these years later, you look like a complete moron. So Twitter lives forever, that's for sure. So this
Heyman's worst tweet was the last night.
What was it? Oh, I saw this. Can I defend John?
Go ahead. Let
me explain what happened. So Heyman, early in the night, tweets how one of the most underrated nice guys at the All-Star game is Josh Hader. Which, by the way, he may be. I mean, I don't think he's a terrible guy. And if he is, maybe it'll come out. I assume his teammates like him. So Heyman tweets this really positive Hader tweet and then deletes it.
Here's the quote. Josh Hader is my new favorite All-Star. I named him nicest, most unassuming All-Star, and he gave me a lefty fist pump.
Can I defend Heyman for his deletion? Now, I'm trying to think delete tweets I've deleted. I think I've deleted tweets that I made mistakes on. You know, maybe a grammar mistake or something factually inaccurate. I think once I tweeted something where I quoted Ernie and he wasn't happy about it. So I said, you know, out of respect to Ernie, I'm going to get rid of it. I'm not a huge fan of deleting a tweet, but I think because of what ended up happening, Heyman didn't want to deal with the backlash of people thinking that that tweet was related to the old tweets of Josh Hader. So I understand why Heyman got out. And we're going to talk to John tomorrow.
He didn't delete it. It's still there.
I heard he deleted it.
No, still there.
Are you sure about that? I thought I read last night he deleted the tweet. Maybe he should delete the tweet. We may have to give him some advice tomorrow. We will talk to John Heyman tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.